Good evening, everyone. Welcome to prayer meeting. Before we begin, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, how to pray, that you will teach us, Father, to be open to your work deep within our hearts. I pray, Father, Lord, that your word, Lord, will minister to each one of us tonight. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today my sharing is titled, Life Flows from the Inside Out, from Proverbs 4, 20 to 27. So I'd like to start by reading Proverbs 4, 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. During the church camp, we did have a devotion on the same verses from Proverbs 4. And it talked about being attentive with our ear, our eyes, our hearts, to focus on what the Lord is saying, the vision, walking the path and staying on that path. And if you have not had a time or you weren't there for the devotion, I just encourage you to go back and look through the devotion again, and it looks at all these verses. But today, what I would like to focus on is verse 23. So let's just look at the verse 23 and the words. First, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So above all else is, most importantly, beyond everything, it should be your first priority. Then it says, guard your heart. When we talk about guarding something, our house, you know, we have guards in front of our house. You know, we're talking about being vigilant, being on the look, being wary of what is happening around us. And the opposite will be an unguarded heart. So when we are guarded, when we guard our hearts, we are never likely to lose our way. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So guarding our hearts is a first priority, because it talks here about everything comes from that heart. So when you talk about the heart, it is the inner person, the part of us that is very self-determined, the part of us, you know, that wants that freedom, the choice to self-rule, self-sufficiency, and that is the center of a person. So we want to guard it because we know that life flows from here, from the inside out. And if we look through scripture, it always talks about how God is addressing the heart of man. You know, he even says that men look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, he's always addressing the heart of man. Okay, and this is the place where spiritual formation takes place, the heart. The heart is like a reservoir. It can be full, it can be empty. It can be polluted, but this heart flows out. So today we're going to look at this reservoir, our heart, and understand how important it is for us to guard our heart above all else. So when we talk about guard our heart, we will ask, how do we guard our hearts? Okay, the first thing is to have a heart which is kept full. When you think about our heart, what causes us to be feeble and to be weak is actually an empty heart. Because all of us face different kinds of issues in our lives. Hurt, pain, regrets, rejection, abuse, loss, bitterness, anger, insecurities, resentment, low self-esteem. But with an empty heart, we are not able to deal with these things. We seem to be lost. We don't know how to handle. And sometimes we handle it wrongly. We don't know what to do or how to cope or how to live. We feel overwhelmed. We feel distressed. We feel down because we feel weak and feeble. And that comes back because our heart is empty. So how can I keep a heart which is full? How can I be zealous for the Lord? So in Psalm 87, verse 7, it says, all my springs are in you. This is what David says. All my springs are in you. I am connected to the source. I am connected to the source of all the waters that I need for my life. So when we look at our hearts and how can it be full, is when we are at the cross. When we are at the foot of the cross, we are accepted and forgiven. And our hearts are full of love, filled with love. When we look at the cross, we are filled with gratitude. There is healing. We find our identity that we are children of the living God. We find our calling, the vision. We become confident because of who Christ is to us. It's no longer me, but it's this cross that has become my vision. So my heart is full when I am at the cross of Christ. When I am at the tent of meeting, when I am speaking and listening and praying, my heart is full of calm and resolve. Here I hear my Father speaking to me, my friend, my Savior. I find solace in His presence. I find a beautiful wave of calmness in Him. I might have had a difficult day, but in His presence, I just find peace. And our hearts are full when we begin to look at things around us through the eyes of Christ. We begin to see the lost, and our hearts are full of love for them. We begin to want to pray for them and to cry out to God for their salvation. Our hearts are full when we lean on the Holy Spirit, for He fills us with power. He speaks to us. He encourages us. He teaches us. And our hearts are full when we meditate on God's word. We become clear. We become strong. Doubts begin to vanish. The truth is what we hang on to. The lies, we begin to call them out as lies and walk away from them. Our hearts are full when we rejoice in His all sufficiency, that Jesus is enough for me. And my heart is full of worship, that I am so grateful to Him. I rejoice in Him. And He is my all in all. And even this world were to reject me and walk away from me, but He is all that I need. So when our hearts are full, so will our lives. And when our lives will begin to flow out, as how we read, when we said, everything you do flows from your heart. So there is, we begin to live a life that testifies of the goodness of God. We begin to be content, joyful. We have a vision. We know where we are going. And we are so sure of our calling. But when our hearts are empty, we are dry and barren, and our life is weak, shallow, superficial. And this is not the way that God wants us to live, in such a way. Might as well not have lived at all if we live in such a way. And I think many of us can understand when we have been empty, when we have walked away from God, when we have been stubborn in our ways, when we have, you know, been rebellious, when we have held on to the things that we have wanted. So we understand, because when our lives are far from the life-giving source, it causes us to be dry, we are stuck, there is no vision, there is no purpose, there is no direction, and there is no hope. The second thing about how do we guard our heart is to have a heart which is kept pure. So the Bible describes the heart as being deceitful above all things in Jeremiah 17:9. And here in Matthew 15, it says, from out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. So when we look at the heart, it is bitter and it is impure. It is like the waters of Marah. Sin is not only pride, but it also misplaced love, choosing to love self above God. We were created by God to love God, yet we have turned inward and we reject God, and we give ourselves the greatest admiration. This tendency to turn inward towards ourselves and what I want, this is what is happening in our hearts, the sin. So what was the remedy that Moses did at the waters of Marah? He threw a piece of wood into the water and made it good to taste and safe to drink. And there is a tree that on which the Savior hung. And when this tree becomes the object, the vision, the adoration, the delight of our lives, that bitter and impure heart will be made sweet and cleansed. And we grow to love Christ more. The affection for Him increases and the self dies. The heart becomes purified, and through Jesus we are sanctified. And this is the transforming power of the cross. It keeps our hearts pure. When we constantly come to the cross, we are taking those steps to guard our hearts. Now, the next thing is, how do we guard our hearts? Is when we have a heart which is undivided. A heart that is undivided, but this is very difficult for men, for us, because we are always divided with our affections. And what we have to understand is a man's heart has only enough life in it to pursue one object fully. Only one thing. We cannot live divided. So sometimes we might think that, you know, my affections are towards something good. But this good that has become more important than Christ does not allow our hearts to overflow with love and joy. This good that we think has become our preoccupation and what is so important to us. It is not the good that we do that makes our heart right, but it is we guarding our hearts and living that life right before God that causes us to do good things. So we see in Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Here it's not only money, but here it's also yourself, what you want, the affections of your heart. So we have to make a choice if we want to guard our hearts. Who will your heart follow? Who is your heart going to be committed to? We can't stand at the crossroads and say, "I want one of each," because there is not enough life in the heart to serve two. And many people have tried this and they fail both ways. So a divided man is like a shadow. So one part is his cocoon, his shadow, which is an empty cocoon. And the other part is its content, the heart. So when someone is divided, the cocoon has no purpose. You know, it's just a shattered skin. So which part do we give? Are we giving that empty cocoon to? And which part is our heart at? What is the good of this empty cocoon? It has nothing there. So to guard our hearts, we have to make a full surrender to God. That our aim and our object is only one, and that is Christ. The Holy Spirit directs us only into one channel, and that is doing the will of God, loving Christ, and desiring to please Him. The fourth way of guarding our hearts is a heart which is kept in peace and quiet. Unless the heart is kept peaceable, the life will not be happy. If calm does not reign within our heart, our outward acts will always tell what is in our heart. So one of the things, that actually two things that can cause a turmoil in our heart is circumstances and people, relationships. Different circumstances can cause us to not have that peace in our heart, that turmoil. And people, relationships, past, present, so we're struggling with people, you know. And so we find there is not a peace in our hearts during these difficult times. But here we look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the only way we can find peace in circumstances, you know, whether it's poverty or wealth or honor or shame or plenty or scarcity, is if the heart be quiet in that place of happiness, contentment, whether it's sunshine or thunderstorm, there is a peace in our hearts. Whatever is going around us or about us, we are not troubled by it. But there is a peace within us, and that peace comes in my time of prayer, my time of speaking with God, finding my assurance in His presence, listening to His voice strengthen me. And then there is a peace in my heart. So there is a story of a martyr, a German martyr, who was in prison for a long time. But everybody who saw him in the prison could see that he was so strong and he was so consistent and very patient. So at last it came of the day that he was going to be executed. He was brought out, he was tied to the stake, and he was going to be burned to death. While he was standing in that position, tied up at the stake, he asked for permission to speak once more to the judge. And according to this Swiss custom, it was required that the judge must be present at the execution. So at first, the judge refused to speak to him. But at last, he came. And so when this martyr addressed him, he said this to him, "You have this day condemned me to death. Now I freely admit that I am a poor sinner, but I deny that I'm a heretic, because from my heart I believe and confess all that is contained in the Apostles' Creed." And he began to repeat the whole Apostles' Creed from beginning to end. Then he looks at the judge and he says, "Now then, sir, I have one last request to make, which is, can you approach me and place your hand first upon my breast and then upon your own, and afterwards frankly and truthfully declare before this whole assembly which of the two, mine or yours, which heart is beating most violently with fear and anxiety? Is it my heart or your heart?" Then he says, "For my part, I quit the world with eagerness and joy to go and be with Christ, in whom I have always believed. What your feelings are at this moment is best known to yourself." The judge could make no answer and commanded them to instantly light the pile. It was evident, however, from his looks that he was more afraid than the martyr. And this is the peace we are talking about, that only Christ can give. This peace that guards our heart from becoming anxious and overwhelmed and uncertain and panic. And in this peace, we are able to testify of the goodness of God. So in conclusion, I want to end by saying, you know, we cannot do anything without Christ. And that is what Jesus says in John 15:5. But the flip side of this verse is, if you do nothing, it will be without me. This is talking about obedience. We just can't say, you know, God, Jesus has to do everything. No. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 5 and 7. It says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. So here is also talking about we putting in the effort. So the question is, we ask is, do I do this alone? Am I supposed to do this alone? No. But if I do nothing, it will not be done. We must understand that what is our part and what is God's part, and to take care of our part so that God may be able to work with us in bringing us to be the kind of people that we need to be. So we must act, we must obey, and we must do in order to guard our hearts. The next thing is, we need our hearts to continuously be filled with the ever fresh life of Christ. And Jesus says, "Is anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We will not lose our way on the journey of life if we will keep coming to Jesus and drinking in his acceptance, in his forgiveness, in his promise, and in his love. And this is where our hearts will be guarded. And if we continue to look from verse 24 onwards, when our hearts are guarded, when our heart is right, then everything flows from the heart and all the other parts begin to work in accordance to that. Our mouth, our lips, our eyes, our thoughts, and our feet. But it starts with the heart. So just let's take some time to just reflect on actually what is happening in our hearts at this point in time. This is what Augustine says. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. No one else, nobody else can fulfill what our heart need except for Jesus Christ. So as we begin to pray tonight, we're just going to take a few minutes, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, to pray for yourself, where you are and what you are struggling with. And how are you going to guard your heart? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to understand how important it is that we guard our hearts. What we allow in, where are we with you? Is our heart full, like a reservoir, full, unpolluted, powerful, to overflow, to nourish the surrounding areas? Help us, Father, to understand that we must pay close attention to what is happening deep within us. Let us not take it lightly, Lord. If there's unforgiveness, if there's anger, if there's bitterness, or regrets that we haven't worked through, if we are struggling with our own identity, if we are struggling with circumstances and relationships, I pray, Lord, that we will come to the foot of the cross and that we will surrender and learn from you. That we will ask you, Lord, to undo the things that have been in our hearts and lives for so long. That you will open our eyes to see things that we are not even aware of that exist deep within us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will come to you, Lord, and we will learn to rest in your presence, to be filled with your power, with living water. Like how David said, all my springs are in you. It is not in the world. It is not after other things. But all my springs are in you alone. Teach us, Lord, to be committed and undivided, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Continue, Lord, to speak to this church, to strengthen this church, to do your deep work within each one of our hearts, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to lift up Life Explorers into your hands, dear God. We want to thank you for this opportunity to serve, to reach out, Lord, to this group of people who are facing challenges, who are in need, Lord, of your grace, of your strength, Lord, especially the children, Lord. We want to thank you that the door has been opened and we can minister to these children. We want to lift up the leaders of this ministry into your hands. We pray that you continue to anoint them, to fill them with your power, with your grace, that you would equip them with every necessary gift, Lord, to effectively sow the seeds, Lord, of the gospel into the hearts of these children. We pray, Lord Father, that also that you would establish relationships that would be a source of encouragement, a source of blessing and joy and hope, Lord Father, with the families, with the children, dear God. Dear Lord, you know the kind of conditions and challenges that these communities face, Lord. We pray for breakthroughs. We pray for deliverance. We pray for the power of the gospel to be proclaimed, that its light will shine, will pierce the darkness and bring restoration and healing, Lord, in the many homes and the families, Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that the cyclical bondage and challenges, Lord, those chains will be broken and light, Lord, will come into the hearts of these people. Dear Lord, we just come before you. We can't do much on our own. And as much effort that we put also, Lord, without your grace, without your strength, there cannot be any fruit, Lord. So we look to you. We pray, Lord Father, that we will believe in what you have put in our hearts, that we will never be weary of doing good, Lord, and sowing the seeds, dear God. So, Lord, we pray, bless this team, bless the children, protect this ministry, Lord, and lead them in a special way. Also lift up Redeeming Roses into your hands. I pray, Lord Father, for this ministry. I pray for Carrie, for leadership team. I pray for the women. I pray, Lord Father, that post-COVID, that you would help them, Lord Father, to understand the role of your ministry and how to strategize and work things through, Lord, as to serve you, as to reach out, Lord, to women, Lord, who need you, who have been wounded, Lord, and abused. We pray, Lord, Father, that you would show the way, that you would strengthen, that in this time, that there will be prayer, that there will be seeking, that there will be waiting, Lord, on you, Lord, to open the right doors, dear God, so that they, believing, Lord, that you have set apart this ministry to heal, to bless, Lord, to bring comfort and hope, Lord, Father, to this community. So we pray, Lord, Father, that you would guide and lead this ministry. Dear Lord, also we pray for what has happened throughout the last few weeks, and especially the church camp, Lord, and you have spoken to many people and you have placed your word in their hearts. And I pray that there will be a stirring, Lord, that you will not forget, that you would start, Lord, to do the things that you need to do, that we'll start to move forward, dear God, that we'll start to, that we will take time, Lord, to carefully meditate and reflect, Lord, on what you have spoken to us, dear God. We know, Lord, Father, that you have called this church, and we believe, Lord, Father, that you are your heart for the people, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that we will carry that heart, that we will carry that spirit, that we will carry that anointing, Lord, to bring healing and restoration. Dear Lord, you have asked us to expand, Lord, Father, and expand our hearts, dear Lord, expand our hearts, Lord, for to believe in you, to reflect more of you, dear God, to contain more of your love, of your hope, of your holiness within us, Lord, Father. Let our hearts, Lord, have that capacity, Lord, to carry, Lord, all these beautiful things that you are showing us, Lord, Father. So we commit, Lord, all of this into your loving hands, Lord, Father. We want to thank you for the church. We want to thank you for all of us who have gathered here in your name, and we pray that you continue to stir our hearts to pray, even as we have prayed now, that these prayers will resonate throughout the week, Lord, and we will continue to knock on the doors of heaven, Lord, till we see these breakthroughs, till we see your name being glorified, Lord, your name being honored. We thank you, Father. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.